Your thing. Now, this is the first class of Song of Songs. Some might call it Song of Solomon. Seemed like my first time that I taught it, I called it Song of Solomon. So this one is called the Song of Songs, which kind of goes on, if you'll turn there. It's on page 705 in my Bible, which probably doesn't help any of you, but nonetheless. And the first verse says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So I guess really the Song of Songs is more appropriate. However, it is identifying to you who this person is and what the, you know, what is this book about? And let's just look at one scripture real quick over in chapter 6, just to get an idea. Song of Solomon 6 and verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. All right, so back to the first chapter. You begin to get an idea, if you read in the, here, that you know, what the goal is and what the thing that's in mind. And a lot of people have this thought that the Bible is all about theological truth. Okay. And the term theological, by the way, is made up of two words, theo and logical. And theo is the Greek, what is it? Latin word for God, and logical is God logic. Okay, but in truth, we don't want to know God logic. We don't want to know theology. We want to know his heart. We want to know him. We don't want to know just how he thinks. We want his mind in us. We don't just want to be seeking after religious truth. We don't want to just be pursuing things that will make us appear reverend or spiritual. And when I say reverend, that's actually more akin to what I'm trying to communicate. We're not after things that are, make us look more reverend, more like we are a professional minister. We want to know Jesus. We want to know the word from his heart. And the Bible says, and Jesus said this, that out of the abundance of the mouth the heart speaketh. Well, that goes for him too. We talk about the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. But that word emanated from his heart. And I tell you what, it's kind of like email. Someone can send you an email, and if you don't know their heart, you can misread that. Anybody that ever happened to? You get this email, and you go, well, what's their problem? You find out that there wasn't nothing going on. It's just that it's hard to communicate the full meaning in a few words in an email when you can't hear their voice and you can't see their face and you don't get the inflection. But if there was someone that you knew them and you knew their heart and you knew their heart for you and you read something that was sort of weird, you know, like, well, what do they mean by that? You would immediately go to their heart. You'd go, I know them. So whatever this could mean, that's probably not what they mean, you know. And when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, he meant like something else that he said. If you knew me, you would know my doctrine. So knowing doctrine is not first. Knowing the Lord, pursuing the Lord, wanting the Lord, desiring the Lord. And we're talking about the Song of Solomon. We're talking about a book that in its basic essence doesn't set forth not one theological truth. It sets forth a relationship between Christ and the church. And in the basic literal story, the book is about a relationship between Solomon and a girl who will become his bride. But I've taught this class one other time, and I'll be honest with you, it covered some really, really good stuff. I mean, the Lord showed me some great things, and I do not plan on trying to duplicate that class, where I will make every once in a while a reference to something that was there, just that I remember because the Lord spoke to me that first time I shared and shared things of his heart with me that I've never forgotten. And so anytime I go to the Song of Solomon or somebody quotes it and it covers some area that I saw 20 years ago, my heart leaps every time because I didn't learn it in a class. I might have been in a class, but I didn't learn it in a class. I learned it at the feet of Jesus. And so and then people kind of look at me funny because if you're around here any length of time, you hear me quote things several times over from the Word or things that I've seen there. But I do that because something of the Lord has impacted me there. Trust me, it's not because I have a good memory, because I don't. It's because something real and alive impacted me, and it never leaves me. And all I want to do is build on that. Another verse that becomes life instead of, ink on white paper. Another book that becomes the way of the Lord instead of me knowing, Leviticus. And there are people, and boy, they outdo me. I mean, they are impressive. They know, they know the Bible backwards and forwards. And that's good. Jesus said, search the scriptures, they testify of me. But he said, search the scriptures, they testify of him, not know the Bible backwards and forward. Not just be able to quote scripture, but be an expression, a vehicle of his life to others. Be the body of Christ. Be the bride of Christ. See, that's completely different. And that's what Jesus ran into. He ran into the Pharisees when he started his ministry. People that knew the scriptures. And his first test was before the Pharisees. His first test, his first temptation was with Satan himself. And Satan, in all three temptations, quoted scripture. Quoting scriptures. We say that's, man, I just want to learn the scripture so I can quote them to people and they'll be impressed. Just like the devil. That's not the Lord. You want to know the Lord in the scriptures, amen? Notice I didn't just say know the Lord. I said know the Lord in the scriptures. And so his first test was out of the mouth of something that is foul, and I say foul, here's what I mean by that. Not that I'm belittling the devil or whatever, and everybody goes, yeah, we can do that. But that's not my first goal in saying it. Something foul, meaning something that is a quote of the scriptures that is not according to the heart of God. And the Pharisees, to become a Pharisee, you had to memorize the first five books of the Bible, Pentateuch. You had to memorize. And is that a bad thing? It is if that's your goal. But you know what? I remember a guy who was a Pharisee. Let's see, his name was Saul of Tarsus. And he too had to know the scriptures and memorize them, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He had to, and guess what happened to him? Now, he was wrong with all that he knew of scriptures because he didn't know the Lord, amen? He didn't know the Lord. But when he met the Lord, the scriptures came alive. All right. Okay, so we got a Bible school here. What's the purpose of this place? Well, the first thing is it's good to learn the Bible. The second thing is to realize that the Bible testifies of Him, and that in learning the Bible, the Holy Spirit has more ground to open Christ to you. If you're a charismatic and you know 12 scriptures, yes, you're not real fertile ground, you know what I mean? If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea. Okay, that's a good one. I think we could pick out probably 11 more that people learn. And then they go, oh, I know the Bible. I've spent almost my whole life in search of Christ. And until I see Jesus, I don't know hardly anything in that Bible. I know a little bit, you know. I do. I know a little bit. But I don't know hardly anything of Christ in there. And so my desire is, it's like I'm plowing through trying to find Christ in the Word. And I think the Song of Solomon, in my opinion, is just a beautiful, beautiful book that steps right out, just almost in the middle of the Bible. Steps right out and says, there are heart issues that are more important than all of the things in religion that we think are important. And our pursuit doesn't have to be, I have devotions, I have a devotion 1 hour every day. Yeah. No, I don't. I'm just telling you somebody saying that. Now, I have devotions 1 hour every day. Okay, well, that's okay. But you know what? 5 minutes of giving Him your heart, 5 minutes of pursuing His heart, 5 minutes of Song of Solomon, and what I mean by that is the thing that's happening there. 5 minutes of Song of Solomon towards Him, you're going to get a different reaction from Him. That's what we're going to discover in this course. We're going to find you get a completely different reaction from Him than going before Him as a scholar or a Pharisee or a professional minister or this or that. And you know what? It talks about those kind of things where she has been in His presence and that she's just dripping with the, you know, and His name is His ointment poured forth and all of these things. She's exuding Him. Not in great head knowledge. It's like Peter when they took him before the Sanhedrin to rebuke him. This is a religious top religious leadership. This is the Supreme Court of Phariseeism, the Sanhedrin. And they bring Peter before Jesus already died and rose again. And Peter and all them guys, they're out there talking to people and just, you know, and not just talking. I mean, they're walking into the temple and this guy goes, you know, give me alms, you know. And he asked for alms and he got legs. Wow. You know? The presence of the Lord was with him because he was with the Lord. Do you understand that? We go, you know, so many churches, oh, we just want the presence of the Lord in our church. well, you know, why don't you get with him in his presence? Well, no, we want him here with us because if he shows up in my church and I'm the pastor, I will be a big shot. God came down in my church and he moved in my church. Well, you know, how about pray that he moves in your heart first? Ministry means nothing if it's not filled with Christ. And the Sanhedrin called Peter up and they said all this stuff to him and rebuked him and all this stuff. And they sent him out to be lashed. And when he sent him out, the scripture says, they took note that he'd been with Jesus. You know, how many people say that about you? You know, gosh, I noticed so-and-so, man, they have really been with Jesus. Or, I know so-and-so, and they really know the scriptures. Or, I know so-and-so, and boy, do they know how to minister and worship. Or on and on and on, any endeavor. And when you spend time saturating in a book like Song of Solomon, and you know it doesn't require Song of Solomon. Your heart can be with the Lord, and I am telling you, in Leviticus, and experience not just the presence of the Lord, but not just the present Lord. But the Lord. The Lord. All right. So I'm, you know what, I'm ready to teach, but there's still an introduction that needs to be done here with the purpose of the book on some of these things. This woman, she's called the Shulamite, and this book is about a love relationship, and you could just leave it at that, or someone could say that, and you could go, okay, that's what it's about. But the wonderful thing is that this book is about a love relationship that grows and matures into what he is and what he wants. Matures into what he is and what he wants, not just for God. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this in your streets? Didn't we do this? Didn't we see mighty works? And he says, I never knew you. You know, and you, trust me, if you're in that situation, if that happens to you, I'm just saying, you know, if you die and that ends up happening to you and you're standing before the Lord and you say all the stuff that you did in ministry and stuff, and he says, I never knew you. You will probably go, what do you mean you don't know me? Well, we spent a lot of time together. Okay, well, I'm thinking about Jesus heading somewhere, and this crowd comes around him, and the scripture says everybody's touching him and bumping him, and but you know they're not bumping like that. They're wanting to touch Jesus. You know, this guy's of God. You know, and all this stuff, and it's a huge crowd, and they're all around him, and they're all excited, and we're all with Jesus, and we're all going with Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus. All of a sudden, Jesus stops that crowd. You go, what's up, Jesus? You know, I thought we're going over to Jairus' house. You know, that's what the mission was. That's the mission. That was what we discussed. That's what we're all doing. That's the direction of this ministry. We're going to Jairus' house to help with his son. Jesus just stops. And he doesn't go, you know, I got a better idea. Or he doesn't go, you know, why don't we pray? Or what, da, da, da. You know, all the things that we call being spiritual. No, he stops. And he says to all those people and to his disciples, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. That was a big deal to him. Okay, but remember, he was with a big crowd. Everybody was touching him. And Peter even says that, but Lord, all these people are touching you. What do you mean somebody touched you? That's just like us, see? We don't know the difference between someone touching him and someone touching him. See? That's our problem. That's our problem. Oh, I touched the Lord today. Well, he needs to touch you back like, anyway. But Jesus, with all of that religious, dedicated zeal and, I can see one of them that's been walking along with Jesus during that time. Well, you know, I could have been with my friends, man. They went bowling. Oh, you didn't know they were doing that way back then? Neither did I. You know, and they wanted me to go. And man, it was exciting. And they were going to give me the first shot or whatever, you know. Until I don't bowl. And he says, but no. I turned it down so I could be with Jesus. Yes, I'm spiritual. I'm so spiritual. That guy touched Jesus probably several times. I touched him. I touched him. Oh, I touched his hair. Oh, oh, I touched him on the back. Oh, I was walking right beside Jesus. Jesus never one time said, he touched me. Not once. Didn't even notice it. It's like, boom, 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 boom. And Jesus is going along. He's all alone in a crowd. You ever heard a phrase like that? All alone in a crowd. He's wondering, when are these people going to figure out what this is about? And all of a sudden, someone touches him. And she does it in a different way than the rest of them. She said in her heart, and Jesus can feel, I'm going to say it like this, okay? Pardon my way of putting this, but Jesus can feel in your hand what you have in your heart. I'm just trying to communicate that it isn't what you do, it's what's in your heart. And she said in her heart, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Well, that's getting low. Amen. That's getting low. And that's not saying, you know, hey, I touched Jesus, man. It was cool. And we were all together and it was really great. But Jesus didn't notice it. But she believes that there's something about this guy that is so special, so wonderful, that if I just, I don't even have to touch him. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be totally changed. I'll be made whole. What was the change? What does the scripture say the change was? Scripture says, Jesus says in the scripture. So Jesus says in the scripture. Not just the scripture saying, Jesus said, and that became scripture. Virtue went out of me into her. In other words, something of me, something that's real in me, something that's above this earth and above religion, above sin, above religion. Something something real of God, something real of God. It's not just from God, it's of his substance. It is seeking to have Christ imparted into our being so that there is this Song of Solomon progression, a change from glory to glory, a change from religion to life. Could I put it like that? I think that we think, well, if I really get with the Lord, great things will happen. I think this woman had the right idea. You know, if I really get with the Lord, great things will be happening. I'll be changed. What was me will all of a sudden not be the issue, and it'll be him, what is of him in me, that's my issue. Do we have any other information? Anybody searching the scriptures or anything? Do we have any other information about this lady? Did we find out that when she went back home, the neighbor gave her a big mansion and all the people came and laid gifts at her door and said, you, of all those people, you were the only one that truly reached Jesus. And we acknowledge that. I got news for you. You'd be more likely they'd come and burn your house down. You know, because it's not about the glory. I mean, if it's about the glory, it's about the glory for him. But somehow, you know, we want Jesus to get the glory, but, you know, it's about the glory, and I want to have it so that it does something for me. You know, I'll never forget one time when I was worshiping the Lord, and this is a true story. I was worshiping the Lord, and I said, oh, Lord, I want to give you all glory, Jesus. And I was sincere, you know, in my soul, you know, as much as I could at that moment. You know, the moment can sure make you think you're really something. Well, I did. Anyway, it applied to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, I think I'm really with the Lord. I said, give you all glory. And I forget the exact wording, but he said something to me like, well, what about the glory of, you know, so-and-so didn't acknowledge you when you ministered to them, and you kind of felt a little bit bitter or something towards them for not acknowledging you. I mean, now you just said all glory. What about that glory? You want, you know, you're complaining because you didn't get glory for that. But you're sitting here telling me all glory to me while you're siphoning off glory. Well, that jerked me up. That was the Lord. And he showed me a really dark part of my pursuit of the Lord, a dark part that included me, that didn't include the cross, even though I would have said, oh, yes, let the cross cover all aspects of my life. Yes. And I'd have done a little shaking. But that thing that was working in me had avoided the cross. It had entered in some other way other than through the cross, through the door, through Christ crucified. And I recognized it for what it was. And I, first of all, I was embarrassed before my Father. Second of all, I was ashamed before Jesus that I would do that. Third of all, it made me sick that I had harbored and apparently hid and sort of built a house for it somewhere inside of me. You know what I mean? Here, come here. I won't let them get you. And, you know, and I can't say that I'm perfect. None of us are perfect. But I can say that I hate that stuff in me. I hate it. It's so ugly because it's so not Christ. See, it's not just ugly. It's not Christ ugly. You know what I mean? I think not Christ ugly is more than ugly. I do. And here's an example. We, you know, if you take the wrong turn down one of these streets this direction over here, you're liable to see some pretty ugly people, drug dealers, this or that. I mean, you can find all kind of, you know, and you go, oh, my God, look at those people. What are they doing? And, you know, and you can see that junk's going on. But I can walk into church and see not Christ ugly, and it's uglier than that down there. God bless you. Come out in the name of Jesus. We are like that Pharisee and that tax collector. We say, I thank God I'm not like. If it's you, you're just like them. I'm just like them. We're the same. We don't need to be judging them. We need to let the cross judge us. And to find that heart for the Lord that is easily to be entreated. Anybody ever read that scripture before? It's the King James Version. Easily to be entreated. That means somebody can, you know, talk to you about something without you jumping down their throat. You know, or reacting, or, you know, easily to be entreated. Come into a place like this woman that touched the hem of his garment that says, you know, I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything, because none of us do, amen? I mean, we all go, yes, it's all by grace, yes. But we still think we deserve certain things because we've been good. We've been of God. We've been, you know, Lord, why would you let this happen to my family? I've done nothing but serve you. If I had it to do all over again, I would do it the same way. I don't know any other way to do it. Oh, so you've been doing it to get a result over here. It's like, okay, I'm working, earning. Where's my reward? Does that sound familiar to anyone? We just covered that in Job, in Troubles and Trials. Same deal. That was his issue. I did it right. And God, you let this stuff happen to me? And not to, look at these friends of mine that have gathered around. These guys are jerks. I'm sorry, I called them miserable comforters. Didn't mean to embellish. And those guys aren't going through anything like this. They deserve it. They deserve it. Is that right? And you don't. See, because you don't believe it's by grace. No, I do. Theologically, I've got it all together. And theological, my little theological ducks. Yeah. It's not about that. It's about the heart. It's about a little old lady. No, I don't think she was all that old. But anyway, that she was, all she knew is that she didn't have any hope apart from Jesus. And that she felt like this, almost the smallest touch, not even of him, but of the lowest part of his garment, will result in immense change in me. Well, that, and Jesus goes, "Halt! Stop the brigade! Somebody touched me." See? Somebody touched me. All right. So what are we talking about then, Song of Solomon? We're talking about a relationship other than that crowd had with Jesus. And remember, now remember this. As Jesus is moving along with that crowd, there is a wider circle that's out there that is full of Pharisees, and those people hate Jesus. They want him dead. The ones that are surrounding Jesus are the ones that like him, love him, appreciate him, or whatever. But they're still not like that one that touched him. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm trying to show you. You know, here's Jesus, and then in the middle circle is Jesus, and then the next one is the people that wanted to be with Jesus, that were seeking him as best as they could. And as I said, they didn't go bowling. They went to the meeting. But then you've got people that, you've got a wider circle of people that hate him. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus was going, you know, I sure am glad I've got this inner circle of people. Remember now, there was just one that touched him. One that touched him. And that what was in him, sorry, do I have this circle right here? Yeah. And what was in him went into her. Do you think Jesus, I'm just asking, do you think Jesus is walking along and he's going along and all this crowd's with him, and then over farther out, you know, in the wider circle, he sees a couple of Pharisees standing over there in their self-righteous robes, and they're looking and going, look at this and all this stuff. Do you think Jesus looked at them and kind of in his heart grew great big arms to put around this little crowd that had gathered to him and says, oh, we love and respect you. In his heart, he took it around to those people and looked at those Pharisees and said, you people, you know. And I'm going to tell you what I think. I don't think, I'm sorry that what I'm going to say, you don't have to believe what I believe. I don't think he sees a dividing line here. I think it's all either those that are doing their own thing, some for him and others against him, and those that one in this case that had given up everything in their mind about themselves, they'd become the least. And they were going to only touch Jesus in the least way, but in a faith that would draw something out of him. Do you understand that kind of faith? Not a faith, not just a healing. It says she was made whole. You know, and there's different places that use different terms. Sometimes it says, and they got healed. Sometimes it says they were made whole. And, you know, some have heard it before, but I just want to make sure you understand that truth, because it's a truth with Jesus. It's something that works in him that may not work in us. And the example was the 10 lepers. And the 10 lepers, you know, came to Jesus, and Jesus said, go and, you know, go present yourself to the high priest. And as they went, they were healed. Says they were healed. One of them turns back to go to Jesus because he is the only one who's going to go present himself to the true high priest. Can I get amen? You know? So he turns back to go to Jesus. And Jesus says, were there not 10 of you that were healed? Where is the 9? And he says, well, you know, I don't know. I forget what he says. But Jesus says, more important, I do remember what Jesus said. Jesus said to the guy who just got healed, that is healed, go and be made whole. Okay? You see the difference? You see? Big difference. There's a big difference between just getting healed and being made whole. This leper was made whole because he came back to Jesus. He's looking at Jesus. He's drawing from Jesus. It's like, you're my high priest. It's not just you're my healer. You're the one that brings me in. You're the one that takes me into the Holy of Holies. You're the one where the veil is rent and we go in as one and see as you see, Father. You're the one. So, back to my misguided view of things. I don't think Jesus is looking and going, oh, I'm just so thankful for the people that love me and whatever. I think that he's just wanting everyone to come to a place of what the Shulamite came to. This heart condition, that's what he's after. And it's not religion, and it's not zeal, and it's not this, and it's not all that, you know, me consecrated. He doesn't want you consecrated. He wants you dead. And he wants the life of Christ that is given to God, you know, and they should have figured it out from the 12-year-old kid when the parents said, why did you leave us? We're your parents. This is bad. You've never been bad, but this time you're a bad boy, Jesus. And he said, how is it that you don't understand I must be about my Father's business? You know? This is what I do. This isn't, and he didn't say, I must be about the religious work of God. Anybody see a difference? I'm called to the ministry. You know why he didn't say that? Because he was in the temple talking to Pharisees and priests and everything. That's not the ministry. The ministry is the cross. It is. The ministry is the cross. I don't have enough time to hit you with the next one. I don't. All right. Well, let's see. I thank God I got these notes here because I've covered two sentences. Glory to God. You say, well, we never really turned to too many scriptures. Folks, do you know how many scriptures got quoted in this last 50 minutes? We have, while I didn't give you this chapter and verse, we covered a lot of ground. All right. Well, let me at least read here something. It is the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, is a picture and shadow of the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. The goal of this book is not to elevate truth. Jesus is the truth, isn't he? Amen. But he's also the life. This book is not trying to awaken you to truth, but to life and union with life. It is not a book that sets forth theological truths, which I think that we covered. All right. Is that clock right? Okay. Well, why don't we just take a little break and we'll come back in a few minutes and have class number 2.